Welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, and we start as always with local news. When Governor Bill Lee announced the state had lured a General Motors lithium battery supplier to Spring Hill 3 years ago, it was his largest economic announcement to date. A $2.6 billion corporate investment, 1,300 new jobs, a major stepstone along Tennessee's path to become an EV hub, helped along by a then-record $46,000 per job in taxpayer incentives. The factory's deal, less conspicuous specs, its continuous need for 1.4 million gallons of water per day, is now figuring in a larger battle, pitting citizens and conservation groups against state environmental regulators. Last month, the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation granted permission to Columbia Power and Water Systems, which pumps water to the new Altium Cells plant, to increase its current withdrawals from the Duck River by 60%. It's one of the eight water companies along the Duck River seeking to dramatically increase water draws to meet rising demands for water in the rapidly growing five-county region southeast of Nashville. Should the state approve all eight requests, up to 73 million gallons will be drained daily from the Duck, one-third more than today. Local residents and conservation groups say that's unsustainable. "We're very, very concerned that development and corporate interests have just taken over," said Doug Jones, a retired attorney whose family has owned farmland along the Duck for more than a century. "Industries like the lithium plant that are coming to the region are like monsters, like dragons. We can't quench them," Jones said. Jones now helps lead Hickman for the Duck, a nonprofit formed among neighbors to wage a legal challenge against TDEC over its approval of Columbia Power and Water's new permit. "We're not fighting Columbia Power," Jones said. "It's the governor's economic development people. It's these people in suits. They just say yes," he said. Now 72, he has seen the water levels dip alarmingly during his lifetime as droughts have occurred with greater frequency. A sandbar used for family gatherings has extended further out into the river, so you can almost walk all the way across and not get your ankles wet sometimes, he said. "Can you imagine how bad it's going to get if they take more out?" he asked. Randy Head, general manager for the Bedford County Utility District, said his small water company is trying to keep up with a growth spurt in rural parts of the county, seeing more residential and business customers as growth spills outside the limits of Shelbyville, the county seat. A proliferation of poultry farms in the area has also placed greater demands on water resources, he said. "We're not seeking to grow and use more water, but we're simply required to provide water for development occurring in this area," Head said. TDEC last month approved a permit for the utility to increase its water withdrawals from the Duck River from 1 million gallons per day draw to just over 4 million gallons each day. The permit is now the subject of a legal challenge by the Tennessee Wildlife Federation, which has accused TDEC of poor oversight of the Duck in issuing permits, including a provision that allows utility companies to waste up to 25% of the water they draw through leaky pipes or other accidental discharges. Head said that wasn't something the utility company asked for. TDEC set the wastewater rate, but he stressed utility companies do not seek to intentionally waste water. "We don't want to lose 25%, he said. "We're not losing 25% now. We find it quite offensive that anyone is implying we want that. We don't want to misappropriate water. I want to protect the river too," Head said. "We're not in economic development, but economic development has come to us and we're tasked with providing water for everyone in the district." The Tennessee Wildlife Federation is also challenging TDEC's permits to Columbia Water and Power and the Duck River Utility Commission, along with Bedford County. The challenge accuses TDEC of assuming a lax approach to protecting the Duck River and claims that state environmental regulators have ignored long-term consequences for a river that is both prized for its beauty and biodiversity and also serves as the only source of drinking water for a quarter of a million people in the region. "There's a significant threat that if people take too much water from the river during drought, we will cause the ecosystems in this incredibly thriving river to collapse," said George Nolan, an attorney with Southern Environmental Law Center, who represents the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. It's the backbone of the local recreational economy, and for many reasons, it's worthy of protection, and these permits don't really do anything other than kick the can down the road as far as drought management and water planning is concerned. The Tennessee Wildlife Federation has questioned details in the permit, allowing the utility companies to not only increase water withdrawal, but to leak as much as 25% of the water they draw, even in times of drought. Collectively, the eight permits would allow as much as 18 million gallons of water per day to be wasted. Some waste is inevitable as pipes leak or break, but Nolan noted that Columbia Power and Water had previously been limited to leaking 12% of its water takes. TDEC has also directed the utility companies to follow a decade-old drought plan developed by the Duck River Development Agency that sets benchmarks for triggering water conservation measures and releasing water from the Normandy Reservoir to sustain the river's levels. The Tennessee Wildlife Federation is challenging that component too, saying the plan is outdated and the agency, which is funded by utility companies and has no mandate to seek public input on drought management plans, should not set guidelines. We are challenging the fact that TDEC is illegally attempting to delegate its responsibility to enforce our water quality laws to an entity that is not set up for that purpose and is being paid for by the industry that's being regulated, Nolan said. TDEC did not respond to a request for a comment about the legal challenges on Friday. Doug Murphy, executive director of the Duck River Agency, pushed back against concerns that permits were allowing too much water to be withdrawn from the river at one time. Permits outline peak day demands, making it unlikely that on any given day all 73 million gallons of water would be withdrawn by all eight utility companies should TDEC approve each of their requests, Murphy said. The information I'm seeing out there is that these water systems are going to drain the river and take 70 plus million gallons out every day. But that's not true, Murphy said. For all the water systems to hit the same peak day at the same time would be some crazy odds. Treated wastewater is also routinely returned to the river, he said, helping keep levels stable. The agency is currently updating a regional river plan to account for the unanticipated growth in the region over the past 2 years, he said. The plan will include a drought management component that water utilities granted the new permits will be required to follow. The plan will offer guidance, but he said, "We don't have the authority over this. All we are is visionaries developing plans of how to protect the Duck River and meet growth needs. The regulatory agencies will have to decide if that's doable," he said. The river is already low for this time of year, John McEwen said as he skipped rocks from a rocky beach behind his 1860s-era home his forebears built in Murray County. McEwen, a real estate broker, had grown up skipping rocks in the same stretch where he stood. He said he was troubled by the changes he had already seen. At its shallowest, bordering his family's property, it dipped to 3 or 4 feet deep, areas that now stood less than 2 feet. The real estate market has been extremely healthy, in large part because people want to own property on or near the Duck River, he said. I just wish there was concern for the diminishing quality of this river, which is the main reason people come here, he said. Eliminating that resource to fuel growth is just short-sighted. Once again, the Santa Fe girls basketball coaching position is vacant, as Corey Bishop informed Principal Randy Hubble late last week he will not be accepting the position he was named to previously. He called Friday and said he was withdrawing. It wasn't the right time, Hubble said, regarding the 31-year-old Bishop, a Chapel Hill native who previously coached at Forest and Community, but most recently was on the faculty at Nolensville Elementary in Williamson County as a physical education teacher. Bishop was set to succeed John Wild, who left after one season at the Lady Wildcat helm to take a similar position at Forest. Wild led the team to an 11-17 finish prior to his resignation a month ago. He replaced Jonathan Slaughter, who had spent the previous 4 years in that role. Hubble said previous applicants will be considered through his second process, but the position has been reposted. We had a few good applicants, he said. We're not going to rule out any of the other candidates, but we have reopened it. We're just using caution, and now I think we're going to be more cautious than ever, probably. We're wanting somebody that's going to stay and build a program. Bishop, who cited a previous relationship with Hubble as one of the factors in his initial decision, was unavailable for comment. It is disappointing, Hubble said. I was looking forward to working with him. Girls basketball coaching vacancies also remain at both Columbia Central and Mount Pleasant, following the recent resignations of Megan Moore atop the Lady Lions and Weston Ford, who returned to Zion Christian after one season with the Lady Tigers. The Biffle Potts Farm in Hampshire was recognized as Murray County Century Farm of the Year at the annual Farm Breakfast hosted by Murray County Chamber and Economic Alliance. The beef and once tobacco farm, established in 1859, is run by Melissa Potts and her husband Daryl, and on almost 400 acres. Inheriting 125 acres from Melissa Potts' stepfather, James Ed Biffle, in 1993, over the years, the couple added 256 acres on which to raise their beef cattle. The Potts are also longtime owners of United Country Realty and Auction in Columbia. Biffle and Potts' mother, Audrey, married in 1990 when Biffle was 75, and he died in 1994. Biffle served in World War II in the 1st Cavalry, farming one-handed all of his life because he had a severe injury. He did bulldozer work and owned one of the first combines in the community, Melissa Potts said. He combined crops for other farmers. He, of course, never had any crops himself, she said. Audrey and Ed Biffle traveled to many World War II sites in later life, and they loved Mule Day, Melissa Potts said. It's all about the land, Potts said to hundreds of guests at the annual farm breakfast at the Ridley 4-H Center in Columbia. Our dream is to keep this farm intact and preserve its legacy, she said. Melissa Potts also said they are also giving row crops a try this year. However, her true passion and favorite place on the farm is the small goat sanctuary. The Potts began when approximately a dozen goats from a nearby farm needed a new home. Now the herd has grown to 34. Senator Joey Hensley read a proclamation approved by the Tennessee General Assembly declaring the farm a century farm, and along with Representative Scott Sapicki, presented it to the couple. There's something about the dirt, getting your hands messy, watering something and watching it grow, and holding a baby calf in your hands, Sapicki said. Whenever we pass these resolutions are numbered, and one day your great-grandchildren can go up to the archives and look it up, he said. Keynote speaker Tennessee Farm Bureau President Eric Mayberry, originally of Humphreys County, spoke about the state of farming in Tennessee, an industry that is top in the state but has overall shrunk over the decades. Founded in 1921, Farm Bureau was established after its founders recognized a need to come together to advocate for farmers and the industry. Sometimes life is just better in blue jeans and cotton t-shirts, Mayberry said. He shared statistics that show farming is on some levels a shrinking industry. In 1916, the U.S. was comprised of 32.5 million farmers, or a third of the nation's population, Mayberry said. Fast forward to today, there are 4 million farms left, or 1.4% of the population in the United States, according to recent statistics. It doesn't look like a lot, and it's not. A lot who don't understand agriculture don't realize that 1.4% produce the food for all the rest in the world, Mayberry said. Every farmer in the United States feeds himself and 172 other people in this country and around the world. It's a testament to the American farmer and speaks to the dedication of a farmer, he said. He also shared statistics show that most Americans, or 70 to 80%, trust farmers, a percentage that exceeds many elected officials and leaders. Find a way to preserve farmland, because at the end of the day, they aren't making more of it, Mayberry said. Here's some ag facts from Murray County. There are 1,442 farms, with the amount of land of farms equates to 209,805 acres. The average farm size is 145 acres. The total value of ag products is $50,538,000, and the average value of products per farm is $35,047. Direct agricultural output is estimated at $309 million. The economic impact is estimated at $479.9 million, and ag jobs generated, 2,734. Columbia Fire and Rescue will be hosting a car seat safety event in collaboration with General Motors and the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation on Friday, May 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Fire Station No. 2. According to research conducted by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, nearly half, or 46%, of all car seats are installed incorrectly. To address this alarming issue and ensure the safety of our local young passengers, Columbia Fire and Rescue will be offering parents and caregivers the opportunity to have their car seat checked by one of their nationally certified child passenger safety technicians. In addition to car seat safety checks, Columbia Fire and Rescue will be offering free car seats to parents who are unable to provide an appropriate seat for their child. Free car seats available for all ages and stages of development. All attendees will be treated to a complimentary Hawaiian-shaped ice cone as a token of their appreciation for coming out to learn more about child passenger safety. This event is designed to educate, empower, and protect our community's most vulnerable members. It's important to note that the child must be in attendance in order to ensure the seat is fitted properly. No free seats or inspection will be provided if the child is not present. Columbia Fire and Rescue extends its sincere gratitude to General Motors and the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation for their generous support, which has made this essential program possible. Don't miss this opportunity to ensure your most precious cargo is traveling safely. Join us at Fire Station Number 2, located at 711 Lyon Parkway on May 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. for car seat safety checks and shaved ice. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Kimberly Lee Elliott Brown Brewer, 67, a resident of Columbia, died Friday, May 3rd at her residence. A celebration of life will be held on Thursday, May 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family suggests memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Frank Everett Seeley, 82, a retired truck driver for Consolidated Aluminum and a resident of Columbia, died Saturday, May 4th at Magnolia Healthcare and Rehabilitation. Funeral services will be conducted on Thursday, May 9th at 11 a.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Jones Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Donna Sue Stewart Love, 75, a resident of Columbia, died Saturday, May 4th at Murray Regional Medical Center. Funeral services will be conducted on Wednesday, May 8th at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Polk Memorial Gardens. The family will visit with friends on Tuesday, May 7th from 3 to 8 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Kenneth P. Lord III, 81, resident of Williamsport, passed away on May 1st. A memorial service will be conducted on Saturday, May 18th at 2 p.m. at Williamsport United Methodist Church. Burial will follow in Williamsport Cemetery with military honors provided by the U.S. Army. The family will visit with friends on Saturday from 1 p.m. until the time of the service at the church. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Murray County families in the ways they prefer. And why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important, but we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours, and we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia, since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have cloudy skies developing into scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Gusty winds and small hail are possible. The high will be 82 degrees with winds out of the south-southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. The chance of rain, 40%. Tonight, we can expect more scattered showers and thunderstorms. The low will be 68 degrees. There is a 60% chance of overnight rain. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular schedule cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
The Tennessee Lottery congratulates this year's graduates from all the colleges and universities across the state. Your achievements set the stage for a brighter tomorrow. We're happy to have helped along the way by raising more than $7 billion for education and funding over 1.9 million scholarships and grants, including Hope Scholarships, Tennessee Promise, and much more. Visit DNLottery.com to see how our proceeds support successful futures.
Hey there, you don't know me, but I was standing behind you the other morning in line, remember? You thought about buying that Tennessee Lottery instant game, but changed your mind. Well, I just wanted to say thank you. I bought it and won big. Pretty annoying, right? But don't worry, I'll bring you back a t-shirt from the Bahamas.
Don't miss your chance to win up to $500,000 with the new May instant games. Plus, earn 5x VIP rewards points on all multiplier games in May, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7, your hometown source for news and information. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. The Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency announces the availability of grant dollars to assist cities, schools, community organizations, civic groups, watershed organizations, and conservation groups with stream cleanup projects during the 2024-2025 fiscal year. Five grants at a maximum of $1,000 each are available for each of TWRA's four regional aquatic habitat protection regions, a total of $5,000 per region. The funds will be obligated as grants, so the grantee must have a nonprofit tax number. The application deadline for this program is June 30th. The grant money could be used to buy supplies such as rakes, work gloves, and garbage bags. Also, it could be used to pay disposal fees for solid waste and tire removal, or to provide promotional items like project advertisement for t-shirts and refreshments for volunteer support. Grant proposals should include the applicant organization's name, tax ID number, address, phone, and name of a contact person authorized to enter into contractual agreement on behalf of the organization. The proposal should also include the name of the stream, county or counties involved, and the project area and description. Contact TWRA's Jason Miller at 615-781-6572 or by email at jason.edward.miller@tn.gov. Marijuana, long restricted as one of the most dangerous drugs in America, is up for reclassification by federal regulators as a medically useful narcotic. What does that mean in Tennessee, one of the last U.S. states likely to approve a path to legalization? That depends on what happens at the federal level and how local regulators respond. Nationwide, there is growing bipartisan consensus in favor of more lenient marijuana laws. Cannabis advocates in Tennessee think the move by the federal government will make marijuana more mainstream. It goes to further reduce the stigma related to the plant, said Frederick Cawthon, president of the Hemp Alliance of Tennessee, which promotes cannabis both for its fiber and its potential medical uses. Cawthon believes the federal reclassification will spur more research into the pharmaceutical uses of the plant. Last week, Attorney General Merrick Garland reportedly submitted a proposal to remove pot from the list of Schedule I drugs, along with heroin and LSD. These drugs are considered unsafe, highly addictive, and of no medical value. Cannabis was outlawed in the 1970 Controlled Substances Act for being dangerously addictive and having no medical value. A half century later, most Americans have a different view of marijuana, now a multi-billion dollar industry. According to the latest Gallup poll, 70% of Americans support legalizing marijuana. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Minutes matter when you call 911 for a heart attack, and Murray Regional Health is ready to care for you. Utilizing the state-of-the-art cardiac cath lab at Murray Regional Medical Center, our team of expert cardiologists and experienced clinical professionals are equipped to investigate heart conditions quickly and perform life-saving interventional procedures. Go to murrayregional.com/heart to learn more. And remember, always dial 911 when you or someone near you is experiencing heart attack symptoms. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. The City of Columbia Parks and Recreation Department will be launching its Family Fun Kickball Day at Ridley Sports Complex, located at 6148 Trotwood Avenue, on May 11th from 3 to 6 p.m. You can register online or the day of the event. All ages and skill levels are welcomed. For more information, contact the Armory Recreation and Fitness page on Facebook or call Caden Holt at 931-560-1449. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today. I'm Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.